Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the British expositor of the 19th century, told the story of a poor woman who was once confronted by a modern agnostic who asked, "What are you reading?" She replied, "It's the Bible, the Word of God." He immediately said, "Who told you it's the Word of God?" She replied, "He told me so himself." "He told you so," scornfully retorted the person. "Why, can you prove that?" Looking skyward, the old lady said, "Can you prove to me there's a sun up there in the sky?" He answered, "Why, of course. The best proof is that it warms me and I can see its light." "That's it," was her joyous reply. "The proof that I have that this is the Word of God is that it warms me and lights my soul." You would probably agree that the Bible does this. But is it enough to simply appeal to the subjective element of experience? I've had people tell me the same thing in response to reading modern gurus or Eastern prophets who sit draped in a bedsheet, hallucinating on drugs. Upon what does the authority of the Word of God rest? Your experience? A warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart? Or upon certain pragmatic facts which form a bedrock for your faith? Now, the Bible does bear witness to its distinctive and unusual authorship. It declares that it was given by holy men of God who wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Gautama, Buddha, or even Mohammed made no such claim. When the books of the Old Testament were written, they were immediately recognized as the Word of God and then placed in the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle. More than 3,000 times the prophets of old rang out the words, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." Now, authority was not an issue. They knew what gave these documents authority. The voice of the Almighty on the mountain, accompanied by the bolts of lightning and the clap of thunder. Isaiah wrote, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever." There is little evidence that anyone ever questioned the authority of the Hebrew Old Testament. Individuals may have ignored it, spurned it, violated its teaching, but they knew God had spoken. When Jesus was here, he fully accepted the authority of these books. We call them the Old Testament. He said, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." And he was referring to the smallest strokes of a pen in writing two Hebrew letters. He had no intention of taking the smorgasbord approach, you know, sifting what he liked and rejecting the rest. The New Testament church fully accepted the authority of the books which came from the pens of the writers of Scripture. Paul explained this authority, saying, "All Scripture is God-breathed. The word is often translated inspired by God, and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work." At the same time this book derives authority from its unity, as 40 men penned these books over a period of 1,600 years, yet there is one beautiful, glorious theme and purpose. God reaches out and touches humanity. That could no more have just happened than an explosion in a print shop could have produced an unabridged dictionary. There had to be a master author and plan, and that one is God. Get acquainted with this marvelous book, friend. But better yet, get to know the author of this book, and then what he inspired will even be more meaningful.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.